Jenkins hadn't moved in the hours since they'd left the Tiara. Not as the container flung free of its strand and hurtled toward a waiting propulsion pod. Not as the two vehicles came together with a jolt, the pod's nav computer struggling to match the container's spin. Even the temporary nausea of a too rapid entrance into slipspace had failed to interrupt Jenkins' silent watch over Forsell, lying before him on the container floor. "He's stable," Healy closed his medkit. The corpsman had worked furiously to seal Forsell's shoulder with biofoam, to wrap tight the alien's ragged bite. But Forsell had lost a lot of blood. "He'll be okay," Healy concluded, his breath blowing white in the container's frigid air. Before they'd entered slipspace, Lieutenant Commander Alcigny had thought it wise to keep their power signatures low as possible to keep from being tracked by the alien warship. Now the heating units suspended from the container's upper beams were going full blast, but the cavernous space would take hours to warm.
"How do you know?"
Jenkins' voice was soft and hoarse. He reached for a nearby stack of folded blankets, began rolling the woolen squares and packing them tight against Forsell's body to keep him immobile.
"Tell him, Johnson."
Avery had held Forsell steady while the corpsman worked. He grabbed one of the blankets and used it to wipe flecks of the recruit's blood and bits of biofoam from his hands.
"Because I've seen a lot worse."
Avery's voice was gentle, but his answer didn't seem to give Jenkins any comfort. The recruit continued staring at Forsell's wan face, eyes brimming with tears.
"Staff Sergeant, he's all I got left."
Avery knew how Jenkins felt. It was the same unfathomable sadness he'd experienced sitting in his aunt's icy apartment, waiting for someone to come and take her away, a numbing realization that his home and all he held dear was gone. Captain Ponder, more than half the militia, and many thousands of Harvest's residents were dead. Knowledge of these losses was a heavy burden, and the only reason Avery wasn't as crushed as Jenkins was because he had learned to pack his feelings up and keep them hidden. But he didn't want to do that anymore.
"No, he's not," Avery said.
Jenkins looked up, a question knitted in his brow.
"You're a soldier," Avery explained. "Part of a team."
"Not anymore."
Jenkins glanced at Das, Anderson, and the handful of other recruits sitting or sleeping inside the container.
"We're just colonial militia. And we just lost our colony."
"Fleetcom's going to take Harvest back, and they're going to need all the grunts they can get."
"Me? A Marine?"
"If you want, I'll have you transferred to my unit."
The recruit's eyes narrowed with suspicion.
"Let's just say the Corps owes me a favor. You're militia, but you're also one of the few people in the entire UNSC who knows how to fight these sons of bitches."
"They'll want us to stick together?"
Jenkins said.
"Lead the charge," Avery nodded. "I know I would."
Jenkins thought about that for a moment, the possibility that he might not only take back his planet, but do his part to keep other colonies, other families, safe as well. His parents never wanted him to be a soldier, but now he couldn't think of a better way to honor their memory.
"Okay," Jenkins said.
"I'm in."
Avery reached into his assault vest and removed his Sweet William cigar. He handed it to Jenkins.
"For you and Forsell, when he wakes up."
"In the meantime,"
Healy said, rising to his feet, "you can help me check the rest." Avery watched Jenkins and Healy head off toward Staff Sergeant Byrne and the other wounded recruits closer to the center of the container. Byrne was awake and lucid when Avery had boarded the container at the Tiara, but now the Irishman was fast asleep, full of painkillers to keep him relaxed and dreaming. Avery looked down at Forsell's chest, rising and falling beneath his bandages. Then he gathered a stack of blankets and walked to the elevator platform that would take him to the propulsion pod. Inside the pod's cabin, Avery found Jalon.
"Blankets," he grunted. "Thought you might need them."
Jalon didn't move. She had her back to Avery and her hands spread wide on the cabin's main control panel. Faint green light from the panel's display created an emerald halo around her deep black hair. Some of the strands had come free of her pins and curled down the nape of her neck.
"I'll leave them here."
But as Avery dropped the blankets to the floor and turned to exit the cabin, Jalon whispered,
215.
Ma'am?
Containers. That's all that made it through.
Jalon tapped her finger against the display, rechecking her calculations.
At capacity, that's between 250,000-260,000 survivors. But that's only if they all reach their rendezvous.
They did.
How can you be sure?
I just am.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, something like that.
Avery shook his head. He was getting tired of talking to Jalon's back.
Look, you need anything, you let me know.
But just as he was about to leave the cabin, Jalon turned. She looked tired, and she swallowed hard before she spoke.
We left so many of them behind.
It could have been all of them.
Avery's tone was harsher than he'd intended. Rubbing the back of his neck, he tried a different tactic.
Your plan worked, ma'am. Better than I ever thought it would.
Jalon laughed bitterly.
That's quite a compliment.
Avery folded his arms across his chest. He was trying to make nice, but Jalon wasn't making it easy.
What do you want me to say?
I don't want you to say anything.
No?
No.